I put a big emphasis on showing up the way that I say I want to, or the way that I make it seem as if I'm living. I want my life to be as good, if not better, than it looks on social media. And that's a really big deal to me.
Constructing your life is about much more than just building a bank account. Each week, join mindset coach Austin Linney as he interviews guests who are constructing their dream lives and impacting the world around them on a daily basis. If you're an entrepreneur or wanting to start a business, or you just want to hear motivating stories of how others have overcome the odds, you are in the right place. And now for your host, Austin Linney.
Guys, welcome back to Construct Your... She's back again. She's back again. The only now, every time you show up in this podcast, you have more kids than when you came on last time. You know, it's an animal, it's a dog. I mean, we got her, Annie.
This will have to be my last time on the podcast, then.
Yeah, because you're like Todd says, "Hey, we're done. All right, we're done.
Perfection." But you know what, though, I'll keep evolving. Don't worry.
Yes, you know, I'm obsessed with this thing right now. Of knowing, and I already know because I follow your stuff. You're going to be like, "Ooh, juicy!" He hit me up with a fastball, right? In the thing.
Okay.
When we're younger, and we're striving towards something, we peg it, as I would say, we peg the RPMs out. Where I'm falling in love with, I made a decision this morning. It's the weirdest decision I've ever made in my entire life, and I'm still having like formally grasp it. But I was on a podcast this morning. I don't need anything to happen for the next 2 years. Mm. I don't need anything. I don't need a deal to go through. I'm not looking for some big windfall. Cause I'm saying, okay, you're 41. You just hit 600 episodes on the podcast. And I thought to myself, the first thought that came to my mind is, look at all that's happened since then. Okay. That's number one. The second is, what would that look like at 10,000 podcasts? What if I just didn't care about what the results of 705, 1,000? Because I think there's these seasons in our life that we disregard on a regular basis because we want to force an outcome of something that at the end of the day doesn't even really matter.
Mm-hmm. I feel that. That's actually, so my word this year for 2024 is depth.
Okay.
I don't necessarily want... Hi, guys. I'm Annie, by the way. Hey, welcome back.
She's the number one. She's been on the podcast the most. Listen back to the other ones. You're good.
Yeah. We've had some fun. But, you know, it's funny. Somebody was asking me, I just left a coffee date. And they're like, oh, I was like, I got to get back to the house. I'm on a podcast with a friend of mine. They're like, oh, you're recording? I said, no, I'm on his. I said, and actually, this was your podcast was the very first podcast that I was ever a guest on. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now that this is our third recording, it's really interesting to me to, this is our fourth.
Fourth, I believe. I swear.
Maybe it is.
You just had the baby when we did the first one. I think it's four. It's maybe, for sure, three. So we're out maybe there.
I think you might be right. Either way, I feel like every single time I've come on this, you know, the first time, being totally honest, I was so nervous. Right. I was so nervous. I didn't know, what am I going to talk about? What if I, you know, mess up on my words? And here I'm like, cool, let's have a catch up. I feel like my voice has slowed down with each episode because I've really settled into more of who I am. So this year, my word is depth, because I feel genuinely like I don't necessarily want more. I don't want width.
Yes.
I want depth. I want more of what I'm already doing. I don't want to add anything else to my life. I don't want to strive for new endeavors. And I don't mean for that to sound like I don't want to set goals and I don't want to go after things. I just want to go deeper in the things that I'm already doing because they feel so good. And I'm talking about with my own health, with my marriage, with my faith, with my kids, with my intentionality, things that I'm already doing. I just want to go deeper with them to just, I mean, dig into like the thick mud of stuff to really solidify my roots.
Because what we've created, right? And what we've created in society with Instagram and all the things. And, you know, now every 23-year-old, if he's not a millionaire by 24, you know, his life's ruined. And I was talking to somebody the other day, dude, when I grew up, this is, I love saying, it just really ages me. dude, if you were making 75K, you were kicking ass. Like, you were like, damn, that's a good job. Now, 100K, they're like, like, you know, and I'm like, when did we become a society that nobody's allowed to stretch? Like, nobody's allowed to, like, I've been having these, like, massive anxiety. I'll be the first one to tell you. I've had anxiety attacks lately, you know, stuff that I can handle with breathing. And I'm like, dealing with this for, like, 30 days for, like, business issues and stuff like that. And I thought to myself, like, who's the one stressing me out here? I was like, oh, it's me. Okay. Why am I stressing myself out? Well, because I'm 41 and I want to be here by 50. And I go, okay, so what if I took the 50 and made it to 60? Well, that's 20 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't have any stress anymore.
It's so easy to get swept up in the undercurrent, or like the undertow of it, though, because especially if you're trying to grow yourself, right? You want to be in the right room with the right people that are ahead of you. And especially you, I mean, you and I have these conversations, right? Where I feel like every time we have these conversations, you're like this Tasmanian devil that's just going crazy on a leash. And I'm like, Austin, come on, just sit down for a second. Right. Yeah. And I think that there's beauty in both.
Sure.
In both sides of that chain, right? Like, it's great to be so excited about life, but at some point you're never going to be able to enjoy it. What's the point of more if you can't handle what you're, you know, if you can't be with who you are now? That same guy is going to, you know, the guy that you are now at 41 is going to be the same guy that you are at 50 if you're not careful.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think what's fun is because we haven't spoke briefly, you know, at all. I think that we as people is that there's this more pull to me, and I'd be interested to hear from you, where I'm trying to decide the North Star. Like, is it the same? Like, is it really what I want? Right? Because everybody's like, they're building businesses or they're building a family, and they're saying, you know, there's some days where I'd really like to, you know, go to Nepal and find a mountain and disappear, but then like that won't fill me up. Right. So it's like, how do you like juggle this like line of like, I want to do all these things. I can't do them in 1 week, but then I want to protect and my own energy. And that's what you've been, you know, especially since the second child, I think you've been towing that line. And maybe from the outside, it feels like you've got a grip on it, at least from the outside.
Yeah, I've put some, maybe it's a blessing and a curse, I've put some hardcore emphasis on integrity for me, of living the way that I either tell other people. I don't tell anybody to live a certain way. I don't mean to say that. I put a big emphasis on showing up the way that I say I want to, or the way that I make it seem as if I'm living. I want my life to be as good, if not better, than it looks on social media. And that's a really big deal to me. When I coach people, you know, the thing that I've learned as I've aged, okay, is that I don't have all the answers, and I'm not supposed to have all the answers. And the way that I live isn't a prescription for the way that somebody else should live. And I think that I had that, you know, chest puffed out. If I'm being honest with myself, I think I lived that way for a little while, of saying like, this is how things should look. And that was in my early days of, you know, working in the health and fitness space, of here's what you should be doing. And that was before kids. That was really before the trenches, the beautiful trenches of marriage. And when you're young, you know, a lot of times it's do things my way, and you'll be happy, right? And I think I've just learned, especially the evolution of my coaching style, is to really approach people to say, you got to figure out what works best for your life, because what works for me might not be something that works for you. You can try it on for size, but like, don't use me as your North Star. You got to find your own North Star, and you will know how it feels. You will know how it feels when it feels right. You start chasing that. And I think it's important to say that every single day is a shift. every single day you have to measure up that North Star and to be like, wait a minute, ooh, that's not the right direction. You know, every choice, and I'm not saying that you need to overanalyze every decision that you make, but it really needs to be something like, did that conversation not feel right with that person? Okay, how did that feel in my body? And if you're listening to this and if you're not somebody who's in touch with your body, I encourage you to just become a little bit more aware and you will know the difference. Were you drained after you talked to somebody or were you energized after you talked to them? What did it feel like when you were around them? And the problem that we face is we, you know, all of a sudden we don't take enough time to stop and actually have those conversations with people. So the people who are in our life or the conversations that we are having or the negativity that we are dealing with on a daily basis, when we do slow down and we're like, oh gosh, it's all around me. Well, yeah, no wonder you're stressed and tired and anxious and all of these things. And okay, just shift. Just, and sometimes it just takes that like 1% shift to aside to be like, okay, is this what I really want to go after? No? Okay. That doesn't make me a bad person. That doesn't make me a bad business owner. That doesn't make me a bad spouse. It's just you got to learn about the way that you internalize things, the way that you process things, the way that we just live in this really fast-paced life that it's so hard to give yourself permission to slow down long enough to actually process what you're experiencing. I think, what did I hear the other day? Something to the effect of like, you know, not men specifically, but men specifically can, you know, spend their whole life climbing this ladder of success to realize at the end of their life that they climbed the wrong ladder. Mm-hmm. Like, shit. Oof. Sometimes we just need to go down a couple rungs and hop onto a different ladder. It doesn't mean that everything you've done has been for nothing. Yeah, I've tried really hard in the last couple of years to show up exactly as I am off screen in real life. The conversations that I have with people, I want to be really consistent with that because I've seen it in other people that don't show up who they are. And I've done it myself. That's why I'm saying this is because I've done it myself. That's important to note. Mm-hmm. And it was exhausting.
Yep.
You know, interestingly enough, I think it was probably like 5 years ago, you recommended a book to me.
Okay.
You probably forget. It was called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry.
Yep. Yep.
That book was the spark for my slow down journey. So I get to now give you some credit, big credit, because that was a big deal for me.
It's a book that most people will not pick up because he's a pastor and they're like, I don't want that thing. I wasn't even into religion at the time. Mm-hmm. But if you read it, you're like, oh, he was at the height of the height and he said, oh, something's not right.
That has sparked so much in my life of this. I mean, that was my shift. I read that and it was like all these doors opened up of understanding more about myself, of understanding like Essentialism, really fantastic book, another really great one. I mean, it's like, it's put me on this path of understanding what is it that I really want out of life? Why am I getting swept up in this more, more, more? More isn't always more. So that's what I'm approaching now is saying, okay, less but better. And that comes from Essentialism.
Guys, let me take a minute to tell you about my buddies over at LeadHub, Ben and Aaron, the best humans I know. Not only are they amazing at marketing for trade companies, but Ben started his HVAC company in his garage, sold it for multi-million dollars. So when this guy talks, I listen. When we took over Dietz Mechanical, we had 22 reviews in 22 years and 7 short months. Went from 22 reviews to 107. We went from a 4.2 to a 4.7. We tripled our Facebook presence and we tripled our calls. If you're an HVAC, plumbing, electric, landscaping company, and you're looking for a no BS approach to marketing, you're looking for people who have done it before, you got to go to leadhub.net. One of the things, you know, we have 42 employees, right? That we're managing just in the one company, right? And before I started the journey, I'm a big weight carrier. Always have been. You know, Let me carry the stick and let me lead you through the thing. And so the biggest fear of my life with employees was leaving, like they're leaving, you know, something I did, right? And what you realize when you get into business is everybody has their own things going on. They get offers, they move on, right? We've had a lot of turnover and we've added a lot of people. It happened this morning. A guy, you know, put in his 2 weeks and went somewhere else. It happened with a very key employee a couple months ago. And he's an older gentleman, older than me. And he looked at me and he said, "You're not going to yell at me." And I said, why would I yell at you? If this is the move that you see best for your family, awesome. And the only reason I can say that is because we hired somebody that day, like that I wasn't even looking for, right? But it's like every time we've lost somebody, we've given the opportunity to somebody else, or somebody else has stepped up, right? And if you if you live your life like, hey, they left me, right? Because I think a lot of business owners do. They left me. They left this thing. Dude, the guy today, he got a full-time gig. He's making $750 more an hour plus full benefits. I was like, dude, I can't compete with that. Like, I shook your hand. I said, if anything happens, you come back and work for us. And he was like, man, thank you. He's like, that's all I was worried about. Like, if something were to happen, I could come back. And I'm like, dude, you left the right way. Mm-hmm. And moreover, I'm in a good place where I say, I'm happy for you, man. But in the midst of like getting ready to run a company like that, you know, that was my biggest fear, right? Is like they left me, and then, okay, well, hold on. Let me unpack that bad boy. No, that's from my relationship with my father. No, that's the relationship as a kid. So then really, it's not a business thing. Mm-hmm. It's a childhood thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That shows up everywhere in your life.
Because it's all really one thing and one thing only. Look, dude, you coach people, I coach people. It's really simple. They don't feel seen.
Yeah.
They don't feel seen. They're saying, hey, you know, I've been doing a lot of work and some different kind of coaching and, you know, uncovered a lot of trauma from like 0 to 3 years old. Like, how would I know? Like, how would I know that? I don't, like, the only way to do that is do like really scary, deep work and like be open to it. Right. But like, then you ask yourself like, okay, so here I am 100% focused on 17-year-old Austin. You know, now we got to go back further. But I had a ex-client who I used to work with back in the restaurant business before I even met you, back in the day. And I said it on a podcast this morning, and it was the first time I've ever said it out to anybody else because he was the one that made me realize it. I was talking about that drunk version of myself. I was saying like, oh, that fucking guy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, hey, man, I just want to let you know, I'm not saying he was perfect, but I really like that guy. Mm. And he's like, you should like him too. And so then I thought to myself, okay, when I wanted to get sober and when you and I met and I made that big shift, I ran away as far as I could and as fast as I could from every part of that was that version of myself. I hated that guy, the drunk guy and all the thing. That's healing. That's moving forward. But in order to fully heal, consciously and subconsciously, I have to go all the way back around and love that guy.
Yeah. That's hard to do, but it's so important. Actually, I'm going to look up I've got a poem to read that this is just so perfect. I'm going to find it and read it, but yeah, it's so important. I mean, that's the idea of evolution, right? You can't completely disassociate with who you were. Because he's still in there. And if you completely run away from him, then you're abandoning yourself, right? The thing that you're afraid of, abandonment. Mm-hmm. And then you're, ooh, that's deep.
Yeah. Because what's interesting, right? And I know I've never actually said this to you. You, and I've told Cassie the same thing. I never was loved by a woman my whole life. My ex-wife's not that way. My mom's not that way. She's not the type of person. I really believe that you, from your tough words, showed me the first love I've ever experienced in that coffee shop. Yeah, and it wasn't like, hey, let's cuddle. It was like, hey, fuckhead, like, I love you. I see something great in you, but come on, man. Like this can't, exactly how it went. This can't be it, right? And then you have then you meet another woman, right? And I'm almost getting emotional about this, Cassandra Bosworth, who like her biggest flaw, she loves me too much. So it's like, okay, well, if she loves me too much and that scares the shit out of me, that means I don't really love myself. If I don't really love myself, well, then we need to figure some stuff out, right? And so you're in this constant love loop, and you don't even know where to start because it all starts with you.
Yeah,
it all starts with you know, you kind of figuring out your own stuff, right?
Wow. Yeah, that's deep. That's heavy. I mean, that's and beautiful, right? Like to feel like you're not deserving of the abundance of love from someone.
Because then we'd have to be okay with life being just great.
Yeah.
And if life's great, I don't know.
How... You're going to do something to spiral it up, right?
Like, of course.
You're going to just pick up the
mud. Something okay, crazy.
I've got the poem in front of me. Are you ready for this?
Go. Yeah, go.
So you can substitute man for woman. Okay. Good, yeah. I figured you have the ability to do that. Okay. Make peace with all the women you once were. Lay flowers at their feet, offer them incense and honey and forgiveness. Honor them and give them your silence. Listen, bless them and let them be, for they are the bones of the temple that you sit in now, for they are the rivers of wisdom leading you towards the sea. I have been 1,000 different women. That's by Emery Hall. Isn't that beautiful?
Amazing. Okay. Yeah. Now since we're doing this whole thing, I want to share something that I wrote the other day.
Is this going to be like spoken word? Can I get some snaps? Let's go. Let's go.
Guys, okay, I'm ready. That's why I love having Annie on. We just do our thing. So, you know, and what I'm excited about the most, you want my honest opinion? And I'm going to say it now ahead of time. I love your audience, like the people that follow you. Yeah. Because they're so supportive. I love when they get to listen to me and you talk because I always get such great feedback. You know,
yeah, they're good people.
They're good peeps, you know? Okay, so I wrote this the other day when I was driving back from Texas. This is me. I'm leaning into more of my creativity. The invisible ceiling of pressure and stress and personal expectations pushes up against happiness, joy, and fear. Freedom. It bear hugs you like a coat that strangles the oxygen out of your lungs. You scream at the top of your lungs, asking for it to stop, only to be screaming into a void of your own prison. Then you look around for somebody to blame when the person's staring right back at you. The entire process exists because we're living our life on a ledge saying that we don't have a choice. We subconsciously in a loop of despair around doing. And then we wake up 20 years later, still the same boy, still the same loop, without knowing how the loop started from one small thought loop. The loop was started from one failed relationship. The loop was started from the true core of the foundation, not loving ourselves. If we had just loved ourselves in that one moment of not turning back, the loop would have never started in the first place. Mm. We are so quick to... you know, it happens with the podcast. It happens with everything. Like, you just get to a point where you're like searching for all this like external, like yes. I think the most exciting transformation for me in the last 2 years is for me as a coach to just show up 100% the way I want to. Look, dude, here's the tools. I'm your guardrails. Get to work. This is a rule I have with my clients now. I'm going to say exactly what the hell I want to. There's no holding back. I decided over some bad partnerships the last couple of months, 60 days, I'm going to speak my truths, good, bad, or indifferent. At least I can sleep at night, period. Everybody in my life, coaching clients, everybody, business partnerships. No, I am unhappy. This does not make me happy. We need to change this. And it's amazing when you say, okay, boom. And then, wow, the door just swings open.
Yeah.
But how long are we holding in that?
Yeah.
Right? You're in a relationship you can't stand. You're in a job you can't stand. More importantly, you're in a friendship that's not serving you anymore. And you're just getting by because if you lose that friendship, you might be lonely for a little bit. Oh my God, what are we going to do?
Yeah, you know? We're afraid of hurting other people's feelings when in return, we're only hurting ourselves more.
Because we'll beat ourselves up. Mm-hmm. We'll beat ourselves up every day, this side of Tuesday. Because that person doesn't matter. Just, but we won't hurt a fly. You know, we won't do anything to affect a brother, a mother, a dad. Mm-hmm. You know, that's putting all this pressure on us because their lives aren't happy, and we'll just keep continue to take it and take it and take it and take it until we lose our shit.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, "Ooh, that's uncalled for." Yeah. Like, here's what's crazy. That behavior that I just displayed when my internet went out was only because you're here. Because you know all the parts of me, and I'm comfortable being that part. That needed to get it out because that was something else. That was not, it had nothing to do with this moment, but with you, I can be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm not happy about it, but I would never do that because, like, that just needed to get out. There's other issues.
I figured that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. When you can be safe enough, that's the ultimate goal, right? Is to be safe enough to be yourself, to be safe enough around somebody else, to be like, okay, you know, have you heard of the book, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse? Okay. It's actually a children's book, but they made it into a movie on Apple TV. And it is, according to Todd, it's one of his top five favorite movies of all time.
Okay.
And one of the things that it's this like beautiful storyline of these really deep words, right? Like what is the, you know, the little boy asks the mole, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he says, kind, you know, it's these like beautiful moments. And one of the things that at the end of the movie, he says to the little boy, says it to the fox, the horse, and the mole. And he's like, you know all about me. And they said, yes. And he says, and you still love me? And they said, all the more. Mm-hmm. And it's just that feeling of being so safe enough to have your ugly parts put on the table. And for somebody to still accept you for who you are, if not more so. I mean, that was the beginning of Todd and I's relationship. I remember, I knew everything about his past, all the ugly parts, all the horrific parts. And I kept telling him, I want nothing to do with your life. I mean, this is, I don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole, but I can't help but love you more because I know who you are. Yeah, being that vulnerable inside of a friendship or inside of a relationship, right? Inside of a marriage is—that's all we're all looking for.
I have a business partner now and a bunch of different things. Recently, newer, met him right before I left Texas. Interesting childhood, been very, very successful. Sold business for multi millions. I was in San Antonio like a month ago, and we were dealing with something in the business. And he said, hey, man, he calls me like 5 a.m. He's like, hey, man, you know that you're running with stallions now, right? He goes, you're not the only pony out in the field. Mm. He goes, you can lean on me. Mm. I'm in the business of Austin Linney, and we're going to do this together. Mm. And, man, I tell you what, it was the first time I heard that in like 20 years, and I was like, oh, my God, I don't have to be the bright, shiny guy. I don't have to be out. I can do this and lean on other people. Yeah. Like I asked for help, which like I've never done. And like, I can't tell you how long. So it's these weird moments of the, like, that hurts like that, like, oh my God. So you're telling me that I can't, you know, I need to ask for help. And then you do, and you're like, oh my God, thank God. Oh my God, here's help. You know?
Well, so, and that's actually part of the movie too. You got to watch it. It's so wonderful. And he says, what's the bravest thing that you can say? Help.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but then putting the icing on top of the cake, can you accept the help? Right. There's this, we live in this strange world today where we won't even ask our neighbor for sugar anymore. Right. Yeah. Like we won't do those things. We'd rather DoorDash it. We'd rather order it online. We'd rather, you know, call an Uber for a ride to the airport than inconvenience somebody else. And the problem is that we need that connection. That's like, that's human nature, is to need that connection. And there's this really strange thing that happens, your identity, right? Like, I hope for your sake that you don't let that help chip away at who you think you need to be, but that mm-hmm. you can accept it, as opposed to letting it offend you as a way yeah. of making it feel like you're less than mm-hmm. because you need help. It's great to need help yeah. because we need other people, and we need to accept that and to not be this, you know, big macho dude. I know. And this is like, in a funny way, this is like, you know, you're fire and I'm water. And I'm like trying to sprinkle yeah. a little bit on you to be like, it's okay to not, this is, you know, here's the thing. The people who normally listen to your podcast probably are not going to want to listen to me. They're not going to want to listen to me. They're not going to want to hear what I say, because they need somebody to fire them up to do more, yeah. more, because they need this, like, ripping their shirts off macho.
Yeah. You know why? Because they're trying to out move and out earn their problems.
Bingo.
It's really
so
easy.
I hope if somebody,
it's really easy when you keep
listen to this. And I hope in a way that, like, you're able to, I know that you're able to, you wouldn't have asked me to be on your podcast again if you weren't. But there's this really interesting thing about learning why we overwork, learning why we feel the need to take on more, why we need to cover up wounds. You know, it's,
well, no, we're back, but it's interesting, right? I've read all the business books. I've read all the, you name them. I've listened to them. I've been to them. I've met them. I've met millionaires, billionaires. I've met them. And I can't for the life of me pick up a business book right now. Mm. Like, I can't. Like, I'm studying, like, creativity, storytelling, mm-hmm. reading about faith, writing, storytelling. Mm-hmm. I'm watching actors' interviews, because I'm realizing that once you have the information that you need, it's more about refining who you are. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the greatest things you ever said to me is, you said, we're in that coffee shop, you said, I can't wait till you have kids mm-hmm. to see those edges soften just a touch. And the thing is I'm actually like the guy that watches the rom-coms and listens to love songs. Like, dude, let me tell you something. Put on some Adele or Michael Bolton right now and I'll go crazy. All right. Like, like, I love it. Like, I really do. And what's interesting is, like, I don't care if you don't like your whatever, dude. Boys to Men, give me a break, dude. All day long. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. like that's what's wild, right? And what's crazy, right? And there's such, this is the crazy thing, because this is the aha, holy crap moment for me in the addiction part and who I'm describing, right? When I knew I was done drinking was when I was drinking a ton of vodka Red Bulls and I was passing out. Because I was trying to be somebody for the group, because they liked that excited version of me. Mm-hmm. And ever since I stopped drinking, and I'm really like, people don't realize I'm really like super chill in person. I'm not like all fire and brimstone. People are like, ooh, I don't like, this is it. Like, I'm like, dude, life's not that great. Like, it's not, I mean, life's great, but it's not like this whole thing that you think it is. Like, mm-hmm. like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's far less like, you know, David Goggins, even though I can be that guy. And it's mm-hmm. far more about like just finding, you know, peace, right? Because like the storm is great, but even the storm gets tired of the storm.
Yeah, this has been, I mean, and I'm not going to try to put this on you to be like this spotlight on you, but this has been much more of an identity shift for you than anything. I mean, and probably still to this day, a daily battle of like, well, who am I? Who do I need to show up at? We all battle this, I think. We all battle this, especially when you go through something that you stop doing something, right? Like, I've basically stopped drinking myself. I mean, this, which is, it's been an identity shift for me, and it wasn't It wasn't even who I was as much as it had been for you. I can't imagine what it's like for you on a daily basis to be like, well, he was fun, right? He was fun. And I, going back to what we were just saying, that you love that version and it's okay to love that version and it's okay to be okay with that, but to say, I'm going to take pieces of it. And you know, that Austin's still in there. You can still be fun without, right? And it's this weird identity shift to go back and forth and to be like, well, man, they liked me. Okay, but did I like me? Did I like them? Did I? You just have to get curious with all the parts of yourself and to say, I think it's like what you're saying about essentially leaning into the femininity, which masculinity, femininity, what kind of talk, that's like a conversation for another time, but it's okay to have some of that. And if that right now, if creativity and storytelling feels good, there comes your North Star shift, right? Like follow more of that. If that feels good to you, follow more of that.
I had this business partner in our new business that we started, and he's, you of all people will know this person because you're from Texas and you go to Louisiana often. This guy has had more success in his career than probably most people I've met, sold more businesses than I've ever met, barely knows how to work a cell phone. He is quintessential Cajun Louisiana, exactly like, you know, I don't even have to describe him for you to know who he is. Okay. This guy flies all around the country, and he had heard about me from the other business partner a couple of times. We had talked on the phone, and I get fired up when I talk on the phone, and he came to San Antonio, and we were deciding whether or not we were going to do this business. And I was a big part of it because I'm going to be the face, but he could retire because he's made plenty of money. But he's like, this is his last like rodeo, this like business. And we meet for like 2 days. We go to business meetings. We're meeting him. He's hearing about my stories, all this stuff. He looks over at me in the second afternoon and he goes, hey man, I'm not going to lie to you. Every part of me, when I knew of you, I knew I was going to hate your guts. He's like, but you're so damn real, I can't love you. He goes, you're so real, it's like awkward how real you are. And I want to do whatever I can to make sure that your life is successful. And he was like, I'll be honest with you, like, you're so raw and real. He's like, it's kind of like you make people think about themselves. Like, am I being as real as I could be? And when he said that, I was like, oh, like, I don't know any other way. Like that's me, right? And then I meet this median in town. And she's like, Austin, I'm going to let you in on a secret. She's from Texas too, but she lives here now. She goes, I've studied a lot of people. She goes, it's very rare that somebody has their Sagittarius is their north node and their second node is Sagittarius. Mm-hmm. She's like, every sign in your birth chart is fire on fire. She's like, you're like electricity. She goes, it's not even like there's like a water and an earth and a sign. She goes, it's like double fire, triple fire. And she's like, you got to understand this is, and people that don't understand this word will freak out when I say this. She goes, you're a poltergeist. She goes, you can affect electricity. You can affect like energy. And when you're haphazard with it, that's why you're always tired, because you haven't understood how to channel it, how to source it, how to protect it. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're just out there flinging it around and everything like that. So like for me, it's like, okay, now this is a lot of people in my life that I respect that have made some comments. Right. And so now we're in a thing of like, okay, let's get to know this. And I'm going to say something that's going to take people off guard. Right. And look, whatever you believe in is up to you. I don't really want to get into that whole rigmarole. Okay. But sometimes life has to squeeze you so tight and rip apart everything you believe in to teach you what true faith is. And moreover, it has to remove the people in your life that are on the boat with you because they weren't involved in the faith haven. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take you all the way down till you got nothing left so it can wring out the people that shouldn't be in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a hard thing for a lot of people to accept because it's scary and it's ugly and it's, yeah, raw and vulnerable. Yeah. A lot of people don't like making those, you know, feeling those feelings, but yeah, that's everything.
Me being myself and being open to my feelings has got me farther than hiding them. So I'm just going to keep doing that. Yeah. But in my quintessential, what I do, I'm going to give my assessment of Annie Grassi as I see her today, because so much has happened. When we met, we were both in the restaurant business. And since then, you've had two kids, you moved, your husband's working in the golf industry, you're coaching now, you started a podcast, all these things, right? There was never a doubt that you were going to do whatever it is that you were going to do. But I felt like your soul and your faith was always in limbo, pushing and pulling against two different versions of yourself. Mm-hmm. The person that I see today doesn't have that push and pull. Mm-mm. The person I see today is so firm in who they are and who's surrounded by them and what they're doing. And there's such a cloak of comfortability in her. And whatever comes, comes, but it's not a reach. Mm-hmm. And it's so great to see what I think is the ultimate mountaintop. What mm-hmm. I tell my clients all the time, we have to go from a seeking to a knowing. Mm-hmm. And when you're knowing, nobody can mess with you.
Yeah. Thank you. That's like to me, that is now the ultimate compliment, because I have had a major awakening, right? Over the last, it's almost as if every stage of my life, I look back and I'm like, man, I thought I knew something then. Oh, I thought I knew who I was then. And I appreciate the fact that now I can actually zoom out on my life and say, I still don't know. And that excites me, as opposed to just having this certainty of like, what I'm doing feels right now. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know everything that I'm doing, and I'm okay with not knowing. My faith in God over the last, even just 6 months, has radically, I mean, I get full body goosebumps thinking about it. I mean, it is in a different way than I have ever lived. And I grew up believing in God. Now I know him. And I feel, and again, this is something that we don't need to get into the faith conversation, but that is where, for me, my cloak of comfortability comes, because I've really worked hard on eliminating parts of my own ego. I've done a shitload of surrendering in motherhood, in life, in marriage, in business, a lot.
And you have as a family too.
Yeah.
And you have as a family, a lot of chances taken on you and your husband when it comes to business and surrender. So it's been a full kind of gamut.
Yeah. Honestly, one of the best things, and this is, again, it's not something that we need to go into, but I'll just say this because it's my truth. Maybe one of the greatest things that has happened inside of our marriage has been our digging ourselves out of debt 4 years ago, three and a half years, 4 years ago. I don't know how many years ago it was, but that process of, again, like the whole eliminating the ego thing and just the bonding that it did for us and what it's given us now on the other side of it, I don't know if I've actually been able to fully process what it's done for us, what it's been able to give to us, to be able to give to others, the time availability, Todd busts his ass. I can't pretend like I'm the one that led us out. But what I've been able to do on the other side to be the soft receiving end, I mean, I've really had to tap into my femininity because I would lived so much in my masculinity that I've really been able to be that soft landing for, like, to set the tone of our home. This is where I feel this is my North Star, is inside of my home. And kind of, you know, again, surrendering to things need to feel good in order for me to pursue them. It has to feel good, because that battle of going, I mean, that friction that I would have constantly, it was exhausting. I mean, truly exhausting. And so getting ourselves out of that disgustingly large hole was so, I hate this term, life-changing, because it's so overused. It was life-changing.
Yeah. Because then you got to do what you wanted to instead of having to. And then,
so yes, and it gave me the ability to put up more boundaries of myself to that. I mean, I could go on an entirely, it's a podcast of its own talking about the concept of delayed gratification. Mm-hmm. Whoa. I mean, that has been learning delayed gratification, learning priorities, learning like, and again, not just saying, but doing, has been wildly transformative for me.
Somebody said, I saw it on Instagram or something, like faith functions best in uncertainty.
Hmm.
And if you knew everything that exists in life, you wouldn't need faith.
Sure.
And it's like those moments, right? I really don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. Perfect example. When you push record, you put it in the can, you send it off, and it hits that person 3 years later or 6 years later. And so instead of like worrying about where my numbers are, or how many people, I said, okay, this is just a vault of information.
Yeah.
That'll be available for my kids, my family, anybody that wants to listen to it 20, 30, 40 years away. That's it. And I'm going to approach it as such. Right. And it's because it's this thing of like, my favorite thing to ask my clients is like, what's your definition of success?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like, yeah. Because it's the most asinine, like nobody has a true. So like, that's okay. So this is what I figured out. Really, the only issues in America are that we have the improper definitions for ourselves of things. That's it.
Yes.
Because you're successful, and what they're telling you over here and what this person's saying are two totally different things. So the perfect example, this is really easy to put it in a box for everybody to understand. Everybody and their mother wants to treat alcoholism in the vehicle of the thing, when that has nothing to do with alcoholism. It's the source. Why does they drink? But in America, it's super easy to go, well, that's the thing. Right. You're mm-hmm. in debt. And I tell everybody, like, it was, nobody wants to listen to me. I've coached tons of people, alcoholism, abuse, you name it, divorce, you name it, adultery, you name it. I've done it. The two biggest, hardest clients I ever had, and to this day, still probably getting better, bankruptcy.
Mm.
The shame of how we treat that in society.
Yeah.
Just ripped. And you ready for this? That person was a millionaire, mm-hmm. had gone into bankruptcy and became a millionaire and was still tearing himself up. He was successful.
Yeah.
And still, like, because of how we label it on the top and what we say about it and how we reframe that whole thing.
We buy things to impress the people we don't like, to live the life that we don't even want to live. There's some sort of mm-hmm. Dave Ramsey mm-hmm. quote like that. I'm not going to go into a Dave Ramsey thing, but like, it's true. I mean, that's, and again, it is, unfortunately it is here in America, right? Like that, that's been an identity shift for me.
The greatest, there's two greatest things that ever happened to me. And I'm not saying, oh, let's do them again. I don't want to do them again, but getting divorced and giving away a house and having seven boxes to my name was the freest thing in the entire world. And then having those seven boxes be a quarter of a mile from a wildfire and having peace that all those the little things that you had, all you had was an iPad left and some clothes, was all going to be gone because the fire was going there. And then I'm sitting there having stressing out about those little things, those seven boxes, and then getting to a point where the fires happen, right? Where you assume that the fires ran it over and you go, okay, cool, whatever, you know, and you're just like, wait.
Yeah, sometimes you need life to burn you down so that you can rise up from the ashes, right? I mean, that's it, like a phoenix. Seriously, it's humbling and it's hard and it's awful, but some of the most beautiful things in life come out of those moments.
1,000%.
If you let them.
If you let them, keyword. If people want to find you, they want to hear about your podcast, how would they do that?
So you can find my podcast, Unrefined Joy Podcast, on all listening platforms. It's funny. I used to say, I think on my last few episodes with you, I'd say like, come find me on Instagram. I live there. I love showing up on Instagram. I don't think I live there quite as much as I used to. That's been a big thing for me in my journey over the last year, I would say, is my intentionality. I still show up on Instagram, Annie_Grassy, grass with an I at the end, but you can follow the podcast page, Unrefined Joy Podcast on Instagram. I still don't have a website. I don't know if I plan to, because I don't know. It just doesn't feel right now. This is the one last thing I wanted to say. I think one of the greatest things as human beings that we can say and that we can do, you were talking about this podcast for you being this vault for your, you know, kids and grandkids one day to listen to. I think one of the most, and I'd even borderline in a non-sexual way, say the most attractive thing that somebody can say is to look back at their life and say, you know what? I think I was wrong. You know what? I think I changed my mind. You know what? I think differently now. And to be so comfortable saying that, to accepting that evolution and not being, you know, so rigid in your beliefs that you don't have room for change. I think even in the last year for me, some of the things that I probably said on my podcast, even a year ago, some of the things I probably said on interviews with you, I might not necessarily agree with. I still love that version of her. And I would still cheer her on and give her a hug and be like, you know what? We've grown now. And it's great. And I think it's just so important to be able to be okay with that change and still be okay with who you were, right? Like it's this push and pull of growth, but I think it's one of the greatest things that we can do to have the opportunity to grow and to say, like, I know for sure right now, I just had a speaking event two weekends ago. And I left the speaking event. Actually, I went into the speaking event saying, this isn't even going to be my best work. And I love that. This isn't even going to be as good as I can get, because I'm going to learn from this right now, right? Like being okay with not being at your best. It's like we overdo things and we get so tense thinking like it has to be right now. It doesn't. You just got to try. So Annie_Grassy, you can email me coachanniegrassy.com. Come find me. I'd love to hear from you guys. If you're like, I couldn't stand listening to you telling me that I need to do less with my life. Good. If it ruffles your feathers, listen, right? Like if it really triggers you, there's a reason. If you can't stand me talking about slowing down and not going after numbers and bigger things and more, there's probably a reason. It's probably because you're looking for permission to slow down. So let this be it.
There are 5 to 7, maybe we'll go on a limb now, maybe 4 to 6 people that can go toe to toe with me. Mm. Cassie's one of them. She wins every time.
Yeah.
That girl was born in the streets. She's she's a gangster. Okay. But you are one of them, and that's why I just love you so much. That's why you're such a good friend to me, because Omar is the same way. There's no getting by at all. They just see it all. Like Omar, who coached me through my addiction, we don't talk much these days. Omar's doing his thing. I'm doing my thing. But he'll, you know, I'll send him a message and he'll send me a message. And he's like, it's just so cool to see all the things you're doing now, mm-hmm. you know? And like, I was thinking to myself the other day, like, in November, I put together like a $70 million deal that went together. That I bought the Briar, they had the seller. Like I put it together from a Twitter, you know. And I was thinking to myself, like don't ever complain, because like many many years ago, you were like slaving away behind, you know, a restaurant. You were wildly unhappy, and everybody in the restaurant knew it. And look at you now. You get to talk in a mic and people listen, and you're putting deals together, and you get to travel to cool places. And I think that we can discredit the things that we have now that we dreamed of all those years ago, and still want more, but be content. And I think that every time I talk to you, I feel grounded. I feel more in myself. And I think that that's really what we're after here. Because there's no harsher critic than yourself. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm guilty of, well, you need to do this and that. But when I talk to you, I feel like I get recentered. So, you know, I really hope anybody loved this episode. I hope you send it to a friend, Annie's Army. I'll be looking for your feedback. I can't wait. That's what I'm going to call it. You got Annie's Army. I love it. Yeah. No, you're the best.
Thank you, my friend. I'm proud of you for all the good. It's awesome.
Awesome. Well, looks like the internet's going to do its thing again. So send it around to an episode, or send it around to a friend, share it with somebody, and we'll see you next time. Bye.